All right, let's open our Bibles. We want to continue our teachings, the seasons of fruitfulness. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 26. That's what we have been trying to read for a while. I want to, again, connect with where we ended, inspired by Isaac, and bring out the practical aspects of being fruitful in life. We must never forget that fruitfulness is, first of all, a spiritual thing. That is, it is when God has given you a blessing. He said the blessing of God makes rich. That is, the blessing in itself is not the outward riches. It's an invisible thing that produces riches outwardly. He said the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrows with it. So what's the first thing that we need in life is to have the blessing. That's why I wrote that book, that little book titled The Blessing. It's currently out of print, but you can get a free copy from our website, The Blessing. So we have the blessing, but the blessing has to connect with the physical through some outward things. Very important we understand it. Very important. The blessing always connects with the physical. We said that when there is a seed, God has to give it a body. Are you getting my point? That is, God wanted to bless the people, and he was sending his salvation. And his salvation, the name was Jesus Christ. But he needed to have a body. So the angel left and went and talked with the young woman, Mary. And he persuaded her to carry the body. That is, we said, no matter how much God wants to bless, except there is a body to carry that seed, you and I would not have been blessed. Are you getting my point? If that particular Mary rejected it, another Mary had to be found, because the blessing of God must have a body to pass on to the earth through. Don't ever forget that. That's what we began with. So first of all, we have a blessing. And number two, we have a body that must be built. And this is our series. What we are teaching is to help the people of God understand. That is what God does. He takes you, he calls you aside, shows you a pattern in the heavens, and says to you, like he said to Moses, go to the earth and make sure you build exactly according to the pattern that was shown to you on the earth. This is the reason. Every seed has its own body. We said that. Every seed has its own kind of body. The mistake people make a lot of times, and this is very important we understand it, that the body that I have does not have to be like your own. Like I say all the time, that there are messages I preach, there are things I say, that if a white man wouldn't dare say it, you, even me listening to you, no, I realize that God has worked on me. I'm not going to vex too much. You know, I have this ability to slice things away. Like, there was a man I was listening to once. The man was insulting everything black, African, backward people, barbaric people, primitive people. He was talking and talking and talking, and I was playing the message. So he would drop one of those insults. I told my wife, did you hear that? He would drop another one. I told my wife, did you hear that? You see, that man's very funny, and I was laughing about it. After my wife said, why are you listening to him now? I said, because he knows some things nobody else knows. Let him insult me, insult my father, my mother, my whole generation. That I'll be angry, but I'll keep it aside and listen to him and still be blessed. I pray that God will give you that kind of ability. Say amen now. Amen. My wife knows I have it. So may God give me that, all right, so I can slice it. So that my daddy was just saying a lot of things that was very annoying, but I just overlook it and listen to the rest of the message. And you actually need that in life. You have to be able to separate things. You know, somebody I was listening to, I was reading one book. A woman wrote the book, an American preacher woman. She said that you behave like the cow, that's the best way to handle life. You chew the grass and spit out the stick. And that's what cattle does, you know. When they are chewing grass, all right, they chew the, everything goes into the mouth. They chew the grass and just see the sticks dropping out. Say, oh boy, this is not part of it, all right? It's not part of it. Now, so back to what I was saying. Now, this was why I brought it up. From that, the kind of body I personally, listen, you that you are listening to, all right, today, all right, Pastor Banky, is required to be able to utter some truths. That's what I'm trying to explain. That most people cannot tolerate some things I say coming from a white man's mouth. They won't be able to stand it. That's a matter of fact, all right. So that body is necessary to utter that kind of truth, and that's not a lie. That's not a lie. God will say, no, this thing you are saying, I can't let somebody who's white say this. Nobody will listen to him. I want you to be born in Nigeria. You are going to be a real African, the type that nobody can confuse, all right, whether you're an African or not. If you come from Northern Africa, they won't be sure. Okay? Go to Nigeria and make sure you are darker than an average Nigerian. That way, there will be no confusion as to who is talking. And for that reason, I can say some things and it can be received. What I'm trying to say is that the body, each seed has its own proper kind of body. Now, that's the physical human body. But everything you are doing in life also has its own kind of body. One of the mistakes people make in life, like I was trying to explain, which we shouldn't make, is for us to try and create the same kind of body for every kind of seed. Like, okay, you are going into ministry, all right? Everybody has to start a church, pastor a church, and do things in a particular way. One of the ones I don't understand, you know, I was listening, there was a church near my house, I think. I was listening to it yesterday or so. Was it this morning? And I noticed that every church gathering must start with the same way, opening prayer, praise and worship, slow song, fast song. After a while, somebody runs over and then they come, even if they want to do drama. I don't know what I'm getting my point. You know, it's just we have created one kind of body and say every seed must fit into it. And that is not right. That is not right. That was why when we began to teach the word of God, I learned that one long ago. I said, what am I going to do? I am going to teach. So we organize programs, and just the way we do here is what we do there. I don't use singing and clapping to wait for anybody. If you want to come late, you are planning to come late. And I should not be the one waiting for you. And if I'm waiting for you, I'm wasting the time of those who came on time. And tomorrow they are going to come late. So if I organize a program, if we say it's five dots, we grab the mic, we pray for like 5 to 10 minutes, I collect the microphone and I start teaching. I advertised that I wanted to teach. You did not come to listen to Samsung. Are you getting my point? You did not come to listen to, of course, definitely didn't come to listen to Two Face, all right, or the Banj. You did not come to listen to even Frankie Edwards. You came to listen to Pastor Banky. There is no reason on earth, as you hire a Frankie Edwards to come and usher me in. He doesn't have the anointing that brings Pastor Banky in. Are you getting my point? He's his own minister. So when you want to listen to him, go and listen to him. I will not pay him money to come and sing before I preach. I don't know, you know, Christians are very funny. I want to use the draw crowd. Better learn how to heal the sick and raise the dead. You won't be spending all this money drawing crowd with fine boy. It's true. It's true. You know, we don't know how backsliding we are. We are thoroughly backsliding. You hear what I say? There's no power of God there anymore. So people come to see how fine the musician is. I'm not going to say bring out an issue. So you find that we create the same kind of body for every situation. And that way there's no full manifestation. If you have to get here now, we have 2 hours in the evening. In fact, we have less than that. Let's assume we have 2 full hours this evening to teach the word of God. And at the beginning, somebody prays, somebody comes sings a special number, then we clap and sing, and then they will have 2 testimonies. By the time they finish, it's 45 minutes left. And you and I know, I need 1 hour, 30 minutes to say what I want to say. But because I created the same kind of body, which is appropriate in certain places, but the kind of seed that is present here requires its own type of body. Listen, be careful. Because these same principles apply not just in ministry. I'm just talking because I'm a ministry person. But as a businessman, it applies like that also. You are starting something, it applies like that also. My wife, you know, there are things I teach all the time. I say, listen, one of the things I despise the most, you say you are doing business without the name. I cannot distinguish your business from that of somebody else. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. It is not only name that should let me know that I'm dealing with somebody else. There should be a kind of flavor about the way things are done. I will just know that this is the business I'm dealing with, even if I don't hear the name. Like I said last time, you know, what I said last time, very important. The fact that it's about righteousness. And when we say righteousness is not just the proper way. What I mean is this. Righteousness is not just, I didn't steal, I didn't cheat. Righteousness means that there is something that God wants to do in that situation, and we are allowing him to do it. Do you understand my point? I was giving an example last Saturday about Faith Alive Clinics, run by Dr. Chris Isiche, where treatment is absolutely free. Absolutely. The mistake he will make as a doctor is to live here. And say, yes, me too. My clinic will go absolutely free. Now, if that stirs up the calling that you have inside, you go ahead and do it. Are you getting my point? It is not as if you run a clinic where people have to pay, it is not right. You have to find out, what exactly am I supposed to be doing? What exactly am I supposed to be doing? There are kinds of people that God wants to reach that my friend will not be able to reach. That's a matter of fact. There are those, by virtue of the kind of lives that they live, and it's not ungodly. Don't think it's ungodly. It's just the way their lives are. There are those that God said, you must never wait. Why? It's a waste of time. You can't be doing business and earning like my good friend, not literal friend, all right, $38 million in a day, and you wait 10 minutes to see a doctor. It's ungodly. You should call the doctor and tell him, look, come to my house. I will be ready for you at 9 o'clock. Why? Because you are earning far more than that guy's. You are making in one day than he makes in a year. That's a year. In fact, in 10 years. You shouldn't wait for him. He should wait for you. It's not that you are better than him. You are just trying to allot God's resources properly. You are getting what I'm saying? So people like that will not be found in Faith Alive clinics. You understand what I'm saying? They won't be found there. They are not bad. In fact, they will come there, drop $1 million, and go home. They will get there, drop money, and go home. What am I saying? But they also have to be catered for. God loves everybody. You'll be surprised that God loves some of the people you don't like. Do you understand it? He loves them. He doesn't want them to die. He doesn't want them to be sick. You may not like him. You may be winding your nose. How can he be fine if I will get? You know, I've told you, why do people fly private jets? Because they are going to private places. Very important, too. Like I said, I was listening to, my wife was playing one of our messages in the car. You know, I was laughing. In fact, you wouldn't know that I was the one that preached the message. Yesterday, I went to pick your car up. I was just laughing. I heard me say that, why does the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? That why do people fly private jets? Because they are going to certain places. And why are you not flying a private jet? Because you are not going to the same place and you don't have the same money. It's not quarrel. That's why you have a private keke napep. And you have a private car. And your shoes are private. I mean, I've been in boarding house before where the slippers wasn't private. Now, who's here first? You never been in that kind of boarding house? Bucket wasn't private. Now, who wake up first? So, guys, they wake up 5 minutes earlier each day to be the first to grab the bucket. But after a while, that lifestyle wasn't good anymore. You know that. It wasn't good anymore. You wanted to meet your pair of slippers where you left it yesterday. Why? Because you have to meet. You can't afford your life. Those kind of small things will be wasting your time. Now, what I'm going to explain is this. People, there are different kinds of people on the earth, and God loves everybody. And God wants to minister to each group of people, including those who fly private jets. So, it is not every person's business that will be set up in such a manner that he shouldn't pay anything. Why? Each seed has his own body. That's what I'm going to explain. And one of the disciplines of life is to know the kind of body that God wants your own seeds to carry. There are those who thrive. Now, this is very interesting. There are those who, they thrive. Ministers, as an example now, it's how many people, multitudes, that's what they count. There are those who can't preach when people are too plenty. In fact, I used to have an issue. In fact, let me just give you as a testimony. I've told you this before, all right? When I say testimony, I'm not saying something dramatic happened, just as an illustration, more like. Some time ago, the advice was plenty. My wife invited somebody here one day, and the lady, after she listened to me teach, she said, why won't your husband start a church? Now, just by the way, why should he start a church? Just think about it. So she can come there on Sunday. So what's wrong with coming on Saturday evenings? That's the time I go to market. I will not adjust my calendar to fit your market schedule. I've heard all kinds of, please pardon me, stupid reasons why people don't come to Bible study. I've heard all kinds. That's when I wash. You hear what I say? I wash. That's when I cook. You know, I'm busy the whole week. So that's how the evening I cook. I don't know what I heard I say. I cook. 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 But that one is even better than wash. That's when I wash. When I hear it, you know, I'm one person that, oh God, you know, may God give you my kind of wisdom and remove from you my kind of impatience. You won't say amen. I get some kind of wisdom where I get, but you shouldn't argue with my kind of impatience. My wife is very patient. My wife will sit down there and explain to you why telling her that you cook on Saturday evenings is silly. She'll be explaining to you that once you know the word of God is more important, how can you tell me that cooking? And I'll be pinching her like, baby, what's your problem? She wants to cook. And I'm pinching my wife, like, what's the issue? Let her go now. She wants to cook. It's good for, you know, everybody can't be like me. Each seed has its own proper body. There's a body, there's a seed that's inside my wife. That's why she looks like that. Different from me. Why? This is my own wisdom. When an adult tells me that, it's a very nice way of telling you, Oga, that thing you are saying, I don't understand it. I don't want it. It's not blessing me. I don't know what I get to my point. Yes, it's not reaching me. So this is my impatience. I quickly understand that and I leave you alone. My wife also understands that, at least now she has come to understand that. But she just feels that she owes you a duty to try and help you. But that is the area where I say, God should remove my impatience from you. Me, I don't agree. If you don't want to learn, there are other people who want to learn, let me spend my energy on them. Anyway, that's just by the way. So the person came, when your husband started joking, after that, they should not come back again. No. The person who said, why should I start the church? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Now, what I'm going to say is that I do not have the time to be massaging anybody's back and blowing your wound. Sorry, how are you feeling? No. I teach you, I walk away. Those who are looking for pastor to call at odd hours, please, don't follow me. Please, I beg you. Please, don't follow me. And one of the ways I ensure that you won't follow me is not to do a social gathering for you. You know what I mean by social gathering? Anyway, but there was a time those kind of questions kept on coming up. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And then these are the logical arguments, which I respect, which was the only reason why I listened after a while. And I'm like, that way you'll be able to reach more people. People will, it was making some sense. Okay, let's reach people. Now let's not reach people. Let's try and reach them. Let's not refuse to reach them, you know? But God gave me a very good answer for that. You can reach them on television, reach them on radio, reach them through our magazines, and reach them through the, you know, tracks, you know, internet and stuff like that. But let's just talk about that one briefly. So that one, I thought about it for a while. But this is where I'm going. I noticed, this is a matter of fact, I've been to many churches in my life. I have noticed that the larger the number of people you have to talk to, the shallower you have to talk. You don't even try it. It just happens. It just happens. If you are teaching only 10 people around you who have been, they love the word, you find that you can dig deeper. They generally are more patient. You're not in a hurry, you know. But then, as they keep on increasing to large numbers, they become like 10,000. You start showing up with, this week is your week of blessing. No evil shall befall you. They will shout, amen. I want you to know that, and these are not wrong things, they are true. The Bible calls them the sincere milk of the word. And I noticed something, my experience is that after a while, I tend to disconnect with that minister. Not because he's a bad person, because his focus has shifted to ministering to different kinds of people, a different set of people. Nothing wrong with it. Like I said, God loves everybody. So that day, I was speaking with a friend of mine, just telling him all the things that people have been saying. And I now told him this one thing I have noticed. And he said something. When we said that, people said that on Sunday, you'll be able to reach people. People like to go to churches on Sundays. And he said, Banky, many people are already doing that. I said, that is the word of God. He said, many people are already doing it. That what you are doing now, I can't remember his exact words, but this is what we both agreed on. Count for me the number of people who are doing it. You can hardly count a handful. Do you understand my point? And then why do you now want to deplete where there are few people to go and increase the population of where there are plenty people to do what we already have a lot of people doing? What it was saying, in effect, is that, oh boy, stay with this. We like it. That is one thing that we will get, which we are not likely to get from many other places. A different kind of seed needs a different kind of body. The manifestation of seeds often have a problem when they are in the wrong body. I don't know what I hear what I said. That is, the manifestation of a seed will have a problem if it is in the wrong body. I've lived through, that is, in the last 20 years or about, at least I've been watching ministry with insight, observing people. There was a day, I won't mention this name because of respect, all right? One day, a friend of mine was discussing, me, his wife, and him, three of us. And he was talking about a particular man of God who we knew, and it was, okay, it was the kind of person we'll call an evangelist, all right? Though I believe the word, the proper word is supposed to be apostle, okay? Yes, and what we call prophets these days are supposed to be what the Bible calls evangelists, you understand? Now, they are real prophets. Tunde Bakare is a prophet. You know, I keep on saying it. I know many people. I have two of my friends in mind now who I believe have the, one I know has the prophetic anointing. That one I know is a prophet, not just prophetic anointing, is a prophet. I know different kinds of people, all right? I just want to align some things for us. A lot of people will call them evangelists. The Bible calls them apostles. Like now, a very good example for me is people like Reinhard Bonnke. People call them evangelists. He called himself that. I say, bros, thank you very much, but you fit what I understand from the scriptures as an apostle. Well, we're not splitting hairs over that, right? That's not very, very important. But this was a man like that. And then he started doing another kind of thing and all of that. And that day, my friend who were speaking, he pointed out, so his wife was going to say that was very, very good. Her husband said, that's my friend, that notice something, sweetheart, that's what he calls his wife. He said, when last did you hear him do this kind of thing that we used to hear him do? I don't know whether you understand that. That is, when last did you see him operate this kind of anointing? He said, because he's doing what all of you like, and you like it, it's nice, he has his own set of results. He said, but when last did you see that anointing operate? Why? Because his seed had gotten sunk into a different kind of system. Therefore, that anointing could not operate. Now, I'm careful not to judge the things of other people. We have to look at things to be able to take instructions from them, get insight, all right? But what I want to emphasize is that the kind of seed inside you requires its own kind of body. And when we're talking about body now, what we mean is the physical encasement through which that thing will manifest. Let me just drop this. It is not every kind of job that you should take just because it's pain. We made a joke. When I served in Nigeria Army, that's my youth service, was in the Nigeria Army. All right, it's the 3rd Mechanized Battalion in Taraba State then. So, you know, of course, we're there for some time. We got used to the military life and all of that. And in fact, a few days ago, the DPO of the police station covering my district and my hospital came to my office. Normally, when he enters the office, he will salute. So, when he entered that day, he gave me a very strong salute. There was a way I responded, you know. For those of you who know, I just stiffened a bit. He was impressed, like, Doc, where did you learn that? I said, I served in the army, you know. There's a way, you know, you learn those things. I just gave him, without saluting, I just stiffened one kind to receive his salute. The guy was really, really impressed. But we learned that then. So, so when we're there, people were asking that, would you like to join the army and all of that? I said simply, I like the whole thing, and I like the army. I said, but there's one problem I have. The kind of life I am going to lead, you understand? The kind of life I'm going to live, I cannot be taking, all right, obtaining permission every time I want to travel. It wasn't bad. For some people, they can do it. I said, but for me, my life won't fit it. I have to be able to get a call today, say, please, the program is starting next week by Thursday. Will you be there? And I'll say, yes. And I go, I don't have to explain anything to anybody. Those days, as a young house officer, you know, when people tell me that, why do you choose to be a pathologist in life? I said, there are many reasons. There are three reasons I will give you, each one of them accurate according to the accuracy of Apollos or of Paul, depending on the one you are choosing. You understand my point? Each one depends on who I'm talking to. But one of the things I said is this. I said, it is crucial, you know, because I didn't even know I was going to finish my postgraduate training then, because I was thinking of ministry things and all of that. When I was in school, I wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. That was my first. That is, when I was in school, I loved that field like mad. I don't know. I was going to be a heart surgeon. As I was concerned, I was middle-level medical school. I was going to be a heart surgeon. I don't know. The thing just tripped me, you know. There's a way my mind works. The thing just tripped me. But by the time I was finishing school and the call to ministry was getting strong, I said simply to everybody, I'm sorry, I cannot take emergencies. Let me be honest with you. As a young guy, I enjoyed it. In fact, my favorite patient then was an unconscious patient without any history. I used to enjoy having to reason, you know, do investigation, examine the patient. It really used to intrigue me, all right? But I made it clear to everybody. I said, this cannot last for long. I said, I cannot live a life that I don't know when I'll get called. I go to work in the morning, I don't know when I'm coming back home. I said, I'm sorry, I can't live that kind of life. It's not bad, except that I knew I had to teach. I knew I had to preach at seminars. People would plan programs, and I had to be predictably there. It's not possible that I say, Dr. Lishino couldn't come. You know, there was an emergency. Somebody ruptured the aortic valve, and he has to go and replace it. So I said, God, let that anointing go to somebody else. This seed requires a kind of body. That's just it. That's what I mean by it's not every job you take. I went to preach somewhere. A young woman came, asked me a question. She told me about her life and everything. She told me the skills she had, and how that really helped her to finish her schooling. She made money from it as a student. I remember I dropped something for her. You're leaving school. I don't know whether she was in NYC at that time, but I said, whatever you do, you may have to get a job. Don't accidentally, mistakenly, by chance, in a drunken state, are you getting my point? Don't let it happen that you take a job that will not let you practice this skill. A man used to call me then from Newe. He was working in a bank. I don't know how he got my number. And then I took his call, and we became friends on the phone. He used to listen to me on radio. Then he would call. And each time he would call, you can feel it. You could feel it over the airwaves. You know what I mean? How do you, the phone anyway. There was a way I could feel it. That this man was frustrated. He was agitated. He wanted his life to be different. In fact, these were his words. He said, anytime I hear you, I know you are doing the kind of thing I'm supposed to be doing. So I said to him, my brother, why are you not doing it? It is this job. It is this work. He was working in a bank. I guess we are paying him well. And listen, you must understand one thing about Christianity. I tell, look, all this gospel that God doesn't ever cause pain. Better reject it. Oh, God, they cause pain, no? Because if you open your heart to it early, you'll be able to make choices that will pain you, and you know it's still God. Because what should they, and I told him straight, what you should have done is to simply buy the bullet. Just wake up one day, resign, and not do it again. So where will you get money from? Don't worry. He will get another job that will pay a quarter of what that one is paying. Yeah, he will get it. I'm telling you, if you walk to a secondary school, they say, I was a banker. Can I be a vice principal? They will employ him like this. They will give you a fraction of what the bank was paying him. You're getting my point? I said, but he will have had the opportunity to exercise that seed, the gift that was inside him, to be a blessing to people. A number of times he will call me. The same thing again and again. And he will pray for me and thank me and ask for advice. And of course, no family problems day. You know those kind of things. You know, so they call family problems? Not his own. I'm not sure he had a wife or children. No. I mean, his own family he came out from. His cousins. You know, his mother, his father, stuff like that. And let me just say this. God sometimes, you know, when you saw this, you go men who don't believe in God, when they read the Bible, they say this God is wicked. Because the prescription of God for such situations is forget the family. It sounds funny. But that's always the prescription of God. Family, forget it. It's not as if he's saying forget the family like that. What he says, if anyone will not love his father, will not hate his father and mother and brother and sister, he cannot be my disciple. What he was saying simply is that if family considerations will be first before you obey me, just face another direction. It's a relative thing. I like one thing Oswald Chambers said. Oswald Chambers said that the cost of discipleship is not the one that it costs you, it is what it costs those that you love. So that's the cost of discipleship. I told him then, my brother, you have to just get up, buy this bullet, and move on with your life. Because this time he will call me. Of course, what normally happens is that you know your cousins are depending on you to go to school. You know, and these are real, I get my point. These are tangible issues. They are tangible issues. Except that being a disciple of Christ, those are the points in which you decide which one is more important. Let me just give you news. God loves those people more than you love them. I don't know whether you heard me. He does. He will provide for them ultimately faster if you obey him than this one you are doing. A man came to Jesus and said, I will go with you, but first of all, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. Now, let's quickly explain what it means to go and bury his father. His father was not lying in the mortuary. They did not embalm him waiting for the day the family would meet to put the man in the ground. No. What he meant was that my father, well, I read this somewhere, all right, so let me just know that I'm quoting somebody. That what he was saying is that my father is old, is at home. Let me go and stay with him until he dies. Do you understand the point? So let me take care of him, and then when I'm through with doing that, I will now be able to, I will be free to do this. And Jesus said, listen, you have brothers that are not believing the gospel. Let them go and do that. You have cousins that will help you with that. Let them do that. I know it's your father. I know it's very dear to you. But the matter of the kingdom is more important than what you are trying to do. As noble as it seems. Just by the way. But using the story of that brother, those are the precious in his heart. It was, how do I live? But the point was that his seed was now encased in a body that was not allowing it to manifest. And let me say something to you so that you realize that Christianity is a serious matter. No big joke. God is long-suffering. He's not persistent suffering. He's not ever suffering. He's long-suffering. Everything that is long means he has a length. The sun may be far away from the earth, but we can measure the distance. I don't know whether I ever heard of Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. Voyager 1 was released in the 70s. As of last year, 2013, it had left our solar system. It was now in the interstellar space. Now, can you imagine that? A craft made by human beings just been flying and flying and flying, sending signals to the earth. So finally, it has left our solar system. As vast as it is, eventually it had an end. The distance was covered by craft. What am I saying? God is long-suffering. Does not mean he's what? Ever-suffering. He comes looking for fruit only for 3 seasons. And by the end of the 3rd season, he needs a lot of intercession to have him not pluck off that tree from his garden. And after that 4th season, he gets tired. Even the Holy Spirit, the husbandman, was even me, I'm tired. I told this boy to go and manifest the seed. He said, no, the money here is good. Listen, it's not every job you take. Oh. What did I say? Let me hear it again. Watch your life. Watch your life. Make your decisions as much as possible according to the understanding you have concerning the seed. If you don't understand it, no problem. God will handle you very well. Don't worry about it. But if you know, like that young woman that day, she showed me what she could do and all of that. I said to her simply, when you take a job, be careful. You don't take a job that totally buries, like they say, your talent for you. The problem in life is the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things. When they enter in, let me tell you something. Mammon, I keep on saying, mammon is not covetousness. Mammon is basic. Mammon is what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Last week I spoke, I said it's not about money. It's about fulfilling righteousness. It's about doing exactly what God wants you to do. When my wife and I will be sitting down explaining some principles to her, I said, listen, baby, get my point. I'm not promising you that if you do business like this, you will make more money. I'm not promising that. I'm just saying that you will do something differently. You will birth something that somebody else beside you is not doing. How will it be? Will come to the earth. Every animal is a monkey. There are no horses, no chicken. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, no birds. Why? Because, or let's say every animal is a lion. Say, why? We found out that the lion is the strongest. So why make things that are not as strong? After a while, you'll be tired of the lions. You'll be tired. Each seed has its own body. And what I'm explaining is that be careful that you don't allow your seed to be encased in the wrong body. The problem, like I was saying earlier, is that everybody sees a successful body and they want to copy that body. What I mean by body is structure. A man is starting a church. He heard that Young Icho has home cell. Home cell, you know, home cell units. Home cell units. You forget that Nigerians are not Koreans. Is home cell good? I don't know. It may be good. It may be bad. I have no idea. I'm not even judging it. I don't care. All I know is that Nigerians are not Koreans. So, the way it will work here, may. The word is may. I'm not saying we will be. No, says must. No. I'm saying may. And you must open your heart to the possibility. You cannot just transport what Young Icho did in South Korea and bring it to Nigeria and expect a Young Icho result. No. Each seed has its own body. Each seed has its own body. People want to do ministry. You want to start a church. Just go and copy what somebody else is doing. I want to do it exactly the same way. Each seed has its own body. Some people come to a church like us on the road and say, oh, I like the way the pastors dress. You go and start a church, everybody must wear a suit like them. You now go to a place where everybody, you don't know that everybody is suspicious in that area of those that wear suit. They are saying, they are wearing suit. Are you sure they are not Wall Street bankers? They will soon carry our money and run. You don't know what's going on in their mind. They come to church, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I got wearing a suit. That the Lord has made, I will rejoice. They are looking. Look at his tie. Look at that banker that came that and cut all our money. I will rejoice and be glad. You don't know they are looking at you with suspicion. If you read the book, The Happiest People on Earth, Demo Shakarian said, once he went to a place, he was wearing a suit and he was talking to the people. They are dairy farmers. He was talking and talking and talking. And he knew something wasn't connected. Then, along the line, he accidentally spilled like a drink or a glass of milk or something. And without thinking, he put his shoe on the table and started cleaning. While he was talking, I think he used the edge of his jacket, started cleaning the shoe. Do you know that singular movement broke the ice? Everything suddenly loosened up. They realized that this man is not a suit man. He's a farmer. That this is the behavior of a farmer. I don't know whether you connect that. All the while, when he was speaking good English and trying to draw down the anointing, they were looking at him.